This is such a wonderful opportunity, an opportunity to worship the Lord, an opportunity to see what God has for us so that we can better serve Him each day. If you will turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thine servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lord, we pray for your help this morning. As we look at your word, as we look at what you have said about yourself and about our response to you based on who you are and based on what you do for us in our lives. We pray that you will control our minds as we listen to the word. Control our spirits and our hearts. We pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can better understand the things that you have laid out before us in Psalm 27. In Christ's name, amen. Our message this morning, God's work in the day of fear, trouble, and distress. God's work in the day of fear, trouble, and distress. For the past few years, I've had a recurring dream. That dream, I usually wake up with a lot of fear in my heart. I don't know if it was this past week, the day that the wind blew so hard. I think it was that night that I had the dream again. But there are always a little differences in each of the dreams. The dreams are about tornadoes. These tornadoes that I see in my dreams, some of them are skinny with no wind, but yet they wreck everything that they go through. There's wind sometimes. Sometimes the tornadoes are huge. The other night, in my dream, I visited Pensacola Christian College. And you know how weird dreams can get. I was with my best friends, two of them that I spent most of my college life with. I was roommates with one of them. We just had a lot of good times together. We would go off campus, eat together, go out to the bay there in Pensacola and look at it, and ride in the car, just have a good time together. Well, in this particular dream, I was with my friend named Dave, and for some reason, as we were talking, a tornado started coming our way, and it was a big tornado. It was knocking down buildings. Somehow, if you know anything about Bob Jones University, Pensacola Christian College, on one side of campus, there's the ladies. On the other side of campus, there's the men. Well, somehow, all jumbled in this dream, I ended up in the girls' dorm with Dave, my friend, with the tornado coming our way. And it was destroying everything in its path. The whole building started moving, and it started collapsing. And I said, this is it. This must be what it's like right before you die when you know something is coming your way. Well, I have a fear, it must be, subconsciously, of tornadoes. Tornadoes can cause a lot of damage in the lives of people psychologically, mentally, emotionally, especially when it hits. In the psalm that we read this morning, David the psalmist is experiencing a time of fear, trouble, and distress. But throughout all that he's experiencing, there's God. God is there in the midst. How is it that God works in the day of fear, trouble, and distress? Verse 1 tells us the principle that the Lord dispels fear in every situation if we surrender to Him. He dispels the fear because of who He is. He dispels that fear with His person. He is called the Lord. The Lord means the self-existent one. The one who exists on His own. He does not depend upon anyone in order to exist. And in that self-existence, there's eternal. There is the eternal idea. It was the national name for God that Israel used. Jehovah. Yahweh. the self-existent one. He's the one who created all that we see. Because of his name and his person, he can take care of any fear or any trouble or any distress that you go through. He will go with you. He is the light in our darkness. Light gives spiritual life to man. The light from God saves man. The light from God illuminates the darkness of trouble, anxiety, danger. And then it gives life and joy in the midst of that trouble. This light that God has affects man. It affects man spiritually. He is able to save souls. He is able to transform lives. Mentally, God is in the midst and should be in the midst of our thoughts. It affects man psychologically. Psalm 13:3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. In John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God can give light in the midst of what you are experiencing. Whether it's a blessing that he gives you, or whether it is a time of trouble, a time of testing, a time of tribulation, God gives his salvation. The word salvation has the idea of being at liberty, being delivered from our sins, safety. He gives us rescue. Psalm 62, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. God is able to save souls. Any soul that comes to him. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. We know that if God has helped us in the past, he can give salvation in the present and in the future. God is the strength of our lives. The word for strength in this passage is a fortified place of defense, a defense against all assaults, whether the world assaults us, whether bad times assault us, whether Satan assaults us. We have a God that is a fortification against any attack that will come against us. He is the supporter of my weak and frail life. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. God dispels fear in any situation because of who He is. And it's in each circumstance. Verse 1 mentions fear. That is astonishment and awe. To frighten. We look at circumstances sometimes. We look at what we're going through. We look at the unknown in our future. And sometimes we panic. It frightens us. But God says, don't worry about it. I'm here. My person is greater than any problem that you may fear. It also uses the word afraid. That means to be startled, to cause somebody to shake. One person in the Bible got so scared that his knees hit each other. Sometimes we feel like our knees hit each other because of the fear of what we may be seeing. It's the general word for fear, to be startled. Here in North Carolina, drivers now need extra caution because a new road hazard has come up. Usually we have to worry as we're driving about deer, skunks, dogs, cats, anything that you see roadkill, the squirrels. But now there's a new one, according to reports. It is flying catfish. I guess you need to be nearer the ocean. But flying catfish. A lady who lives in the eastern portion posted this on Facebook. She was driving home on a Wednesday night when a large bird that was carrying a fish dropped it on her car. It was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So she was able to see the bird, and she saw it. She thought that it was a hawk that was carrying this awfully big fish. She thought to herself, I don't know if that bird can carry that fish or not. Sure enough, the hawk dropped it. It was just so heavy. It hit her car. Anytime you hit something while driving, it is scary. Some of you perhaps have even been in a vehicle when you hit a deer. Sometimes in life, we feel like a catfish out of heaven has fell and hit us. But God says, do not be afraid. Don't fear. It's been said that the command not to fear has been found 365 times through the scriptures. That's one for each day of the year. Do not fear, because God and His person will go with you as you face anything that life comes at you. Verses 2 to 3 tells us that the Lord gives safety and confidence. Safety against all foes. The wicked are mentioned in verses 2 through 3. Those are people who would like to do harm and hurt. They are morally bad people, malignant. Sometimes people desire to hurt us. Enemies are mentioned. That's an adversary that causes distress. Don't people cause stress in life sometimes? Sometimes it's not even intentional. But God said anything that comes against you, foes, though it be a host, the word host has the idea of an army that opposes you. The stress is on the numbers, the overwhelming numbers. Trouble sometimes feels to be overwhelming. War is mentioned in verse 3. Any battle that we face, there's a continual spiritual warfare that we face each day. We have those that oppose Christ, those who persecute us, those who hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan himself desires to influence people. Today there is a word, an influencer. Those are people who get on social media, and because of who they may be, they can be celebrities, athletes, pop culture stars, industry experts, people who desire to influence you. And they get on social media and they try to influence you to do something. Satan is a great influencer. He tries to use spiritual, mental, emotional, and psychological battles to influence you to quit, to stop serving God. He tries to tear us down. But the scripture says that there is deliverance with God. People came against David and desired to eat up his flesh. That describes wild beasts that devour their food. But God stepped in. And God will step in for you. He steps in to deliver from the wicked plot and whatever is involved, whether it's people or circumstances or Satan himself. They stumbled and they fell. If you go through a problem today and it seems like that God is not there, He is. He gives confidence, trust, and assurance. Proverbs 3, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Confidence can't be placed, the Bible tells us, in man, in politicians, in the military, or even in oneself. Failure will occur in everything and everyone but God. Everything but God and His kingdom is temporal. God and the things of God are eternal. And there's no greater or more solid and eternal person to put confidence in than God. Verse 4, "The Lord gives me His presence." The house of the Lord is mentioned. There's a desire that He has. He said, "One thing I desire." That drove him. It was a constant wish. It was his heart that was desiring the things of God, the temple of God, the house of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Psalm 26, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. The psalmist frequently, in the psalms following, mentions the house of God. That desire led to action. He will absorb the person of God in God's house. He will focus on the God of heaven and worship. Desire leads to action. The desire for God that Christians have leads us to action. And that is the dwelling place of God. The dwelling place of God. We have an opportunity, because God lives in us, of constant focusing on God. In verse 4, the worship of the Lord is mentioned. He desires to behold God in his house, to behold the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is his person, his character, his actions. Beauty means kindness, pleasantness, delightfulness. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. The Lord now dwells in his children. This is a place of worship. God does dwell here. However, the New Testament tells us that we, as the children of God, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The psalmist wanted to behold God's beauty. Psalm 96, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He, speaking of God, shall judge the people righteously. So you come to church to behold God. You come to church to inquire about God. Inquiring in his temple. Seeking the knowledge of God through prayer, through constant focus on God and who he is, to know the mind and will of God and meditate on them. Now, the fourth principle that we find in the midst of fear, trouble, and tribulation. Verses 5 to 6, God gives me stability. In the times of trouble, trouble has the idea as evil that comes, distress, misery, calamity. A lot of times when we face trouble, we expend so much energy on things that we can't even control. Sometimes we put the focus in the wrong place. in Florida, the hazard team had to be called, the firefighters, because a man put gasoline in the wrong place. He put $60 worth of fuel into the cockpit. That's not in the tank. I've seen people accidentally, when they're putting gas in, to spill it on the ground if they're not paying attention. If they're not putting their focus in the correct place, $60 worth of gasoline went down the drain. Sometimes we put so much energy and focus in the wrong place. Verse 5 tells us that God will shelter us in His pavilion. This was a place of protection where God would admit anyone who would come for protection. Like a person protects his family, God protects those who go into the shelter of His pavilion. He has a secret in His tabernacle. It's the most private place of His dwelling. Just like in the temple where there's the Holy of Holies, God has a place for us to go where we can enjoy His person, where we can enjoy fellowship with God, and God will give us what we need. He has stability that He gives like a rock. He lifts our head. That means He gives confidence to us. Not because we can do anything, but because He does. He's bigger than all. 1 John 5 tells us, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, God is being praised, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Jesus Christ lifts our hearts and our heads, because He is the great overcomer. He's the great victor. We need God. Apart from God, there is no victory. The Bible says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." As a result of that, David says, "I've got to sacrifice to God." One of the sacrifices, the sacrifice of joy. Just enjoying God. The sacrifice of praise. Once he enjoys God, he praises God. It's good to come to the house of God in the midst of blessing and trouble. It's also important to go to the throne of God each day of the week and enjoy and delight ourselves in the Lord and praise our God. God works. Even though we may not sense that He is, He's there. Now, verses 7 to 10. The Lord gives us availability. Pray, ask, and ye shall and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God is always available for our prayers. Verse 7 mentions the hearing of our prayers, the showing of God's mercy, and the answer to our prayers. In verse 8, we have a relationship with God. God seeks us and tells us to seek His face, to have a relationship. Verse 9, enjoy the blessing of God. There is closeness, there's mercy, there is help, there is a steadfast love. God does not treat us with fickleness. God does not treat us with conditional love. When you look at man and man's love, sometimes love can even turn to hate. Love can turn to hate. This is hard to believe, but then again, it's not. A Texas zoo is allowing jilted Valentine's Day revelers to name a cockroach or rat after their ex and then feed it to a larger animal. You can go online, and the one that you bought, $5 for a cockroach and $25 for a rat. Cockroach is fed to anything that eats cockroaches. The rat's fed to a snake. You can look at that and enjoy and think about somebody else because they have wronged you. You know, I understand with exes, but wow, the hatred. Love can turn to hate when it's mistreated. What about God? What about how much we, as His children, mistreat Him? And yet His love is steadfast. God receives us. When our mother and father pass, or our father and mother abandon us, God is there to receive and gather us to Himself. Now, the final principle. The Lord shows me the way that I need to go. He teaches us to do His will, to do what's right. He leads us in truth. He teaches us His way so that we can be at the right place. In British Parliament building, a fox found its way into Parliament. Members of Parliament spotted the fox. Workers in Parliament building, they saw the fox. The fox even made it to the fourth floor before somebody caught it and released it back. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. We've got a God who leads us in the right place at the right time. He leads us in plain truth. He keeps us and protects. He gives us His goodness. What's our reaction? Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait with patience. That's hard. It's very hard. To say, God, when are you going to act? Even at the point sometimes of getting frustrated, when are you going to help me? But God says, wait. With patience. Wait with expectation. That word wait has the idea of God, you're going to do something great for me. And I'm going to wait and be patient until you do. When that tornado, spiritual tornado, mental, emotional, when it comes, wait for God. Our other reaction, be courageous. Have courage. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. And I say that to you this morning, that even though it does not seem like it sometimes, God will not fail you. God will not forsake you. He's there for you. He's there with you. He's there in you. He's a great God. When that trouble, when fear comes, run into the arms of God. Let's pray. Lord, we need you today. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us. When we look at the world around us, there's so many things that can cause fear. But we have a God that is greater than any problem, greater than any spiritual, emotional assault. We've got a God who can overcome. That's the reason we need you, because we on our own are not overcomers. We are not victors. But you are. You are the victor. Help us to depend upon you. We need you. We pray that you'll work in our hearts. And give us the strength and the courage and the patience as we live each day of our lives in Christ's name.